meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you so much, ICANN staff. Welcome everyone to the 26th meeting of the Cross-Community Working Group on Enhancing ICANN Accountability, Workstream 2, Human Rights Subgroup at March 26, 1900 UTC. I wish you all a very good morning, good afternoon, or good evening from wherever you are. In my case, from a foggy Chicago. We have some nice work ahead of us today, and I'm very happy that you are all with us, even though we are not on our quote-unquote normal Tuesday. I'm very happy you made the time to be with us all today. So I would ask the people who are on the phone bridge and not in the Adobe Connect room to please state their name so that they can put into a roll call.
Pardon the interruption. This is the operator. Cavus Areste has joined.
Thanks, Cavus. And so if anyone is on the phone bridge and not in the Adobe Connect room, could you please make yourself known so you can be taken into the record? And ICANN staff, would you please roll call from the Adobe Connect room?
Niels, hi, it's David McCauley. I'm on the phone only.
Hi, David. Great to hear that you're there. I did not get any absentees. I did not see any absentees on the list. Did you hear any from any apologies? I don't think so. And does anyone have an update to their statement of interest that they would like to announce? If not, we can continue with the agenda bashing. Does anyone have something to add to the agenda or propose a change? If not, we can continue with our continued first readings of two of the considerations document, and we can simply continue where we stopped last week. ICANN staff, would you please be so kind to pull up the document? Thanks so much. And for those who are interested, you can also follow it in the Google Doc, of which I will put the link here right now in the chat, where I will be taking notes in case we make any changes. And of course, I will also let the changes, if there are proposed changes, know in the chat to ensure it's also recorded in Adobe Connect. Then I would propose we continue where we left off last week. Last week we've done some great work together on this document. So I'd like to continue with the policies and frameworks, if any, that I need to develop or enhance in order to fulfill its commitment to respect human rights. I hope everyone is okay with that. I see no objections. So as we've now become a bit of practice, we'll go forward with the discussion of the text paragraph by paragraph, if that's okay. There is one small administrative note I'd like to note, and that is that because I am now here at the IETF meeting, I could not have a call out, so if my connectivity drops, I'm very sorry about that, but I hope we can take that up as a group. But I have good hopes that we will be okay. So let me start with reading out the first para and then have some discussion on that. In order to put the human rights core value into practice, ICANN, the community, as well as the organization, will need to consider how to reflect this core value in their policy and operational processes. Each SO and AC should take the core value into consideration in its policy development or advisory role. It is up to each SO and AC and ICANN, the organization, to develop their own policies and frameworks to fulfill this core value. In doing so, The SOs and ACs, as well as ICANN, the organization, should also take into account the requirements to balance their values. So this text does not change much from things that we've discussed already. And the rationale for this text is, and drafting team people feel free to add, is that we said that we do not, because the different SOs and ACs differ widely, it would probably not be the best case to prescribe a way how they could do it, but leave it to the SOs and ACs themselves in their respective processes to ensure that they live up to the core value. I see there are no comments on this, so I'd like to go to continue to the next para. This is going really well. So here we continue. The subgroup notes that the word commitment, used sentence, is not quite appropriate, since there is a different section of the bylaws that sets forth ICANN's commitments, namely section 1.2a. The core value, such as the human rights core value, are distinguished from the commitments. The bylaws.
The host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
The bylaws state that in performing its mission, ICANN will act in a manner that respects ICANN's core values, section 1.2. That core value should also guide the decisions and actions of ICANN, section 1.2b, and notes that the specific way in which core values are applied individually and collectively to any given situation may depend on many factors that cannot be fully anticipated or enumerated, section 1.2c. Section 1.2c goes on to note perfect fidelity to all core values simultaneously may not always be possible, and that where one core value must be balanced with another, the result must serve a policy developed through the bottom-up multi-stakeholder process or otherwise best serve ICANN's mission. As such, it would be more accurate to say that ICANN, the organization, and the community have an obligation to respect and be guided by the human rights core value as balanced with other core values where appropriate. So this text is specifically in response to the consideration, because the consideration mentions that it's a commitment. So this is text-dense paragraph is simply to actually say to return to the to speak to the Workstream 1 report that commitment it was not the right language. I see two hands are up. Cavus, please come in.
Yes, with respect to the use of inappropriate, I suggest that perhaps we use different terms or words, such as is not relevant or is irrelevant here, but not appropriate, because commitment is appropriate. But if you say not appropriate, but we say not appropriate in this regard, not appropriate within the framework of interpretation, because commitment is appropriate by itself, but it may not be relevant here. Could we be more specific, either saying that does not seem to be appropriate here, or we could say that is not relevant here, or for this framework of interpretation, because the reason you have given later on, you're saying that it is more related to the core value rather than commitment. So your argument is good, but the choice of the word inappropriate, I suggest you consider if you could replace it by irrelevant. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. I see also, I think you're very spot on there, and I see also a suggestion by Tatiana there to say not relevant in the context of this FOI. And Tatiana also says agrees with Cavus to replace. Okay, so let me look it up where it exactly is. sorry, I'm looking for the word inappropriate. Tatiana, if you see it, could you suggest a change in the Google Doc? Would you be so kind to do that? Perfect. There it is. Perfect. Thanks so much. Then, Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. I may have gotten the language that was suggested among the drafting team in your last suggestion in the wrong place. I thought it came at the end of this paragraph, but I see in the chat you're saying that it goes somewhere else, the language about human rights being interdependent and indivisible. So I apologize if I got that earlier. I'm not able to scroll the document. Is the document released for scrolling?
I can stop. Could you enable scroll control for everyone?
Oh, that's helpful. Okay. So I think that, Niels, what you had last brought into the drafting team discussion was the phrase, human rights should not be selectively analyzed since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated, and you had taken that language from Annex 6. I had thought it was to come here in this paragraph, at the end of this paragraph. But I guess you're saying that you thought it came later. Was it the next paragraph?
Yeah, it's no, in two parts down where the burgundy colored text is. Because this this text is directly responding to the consideration and kind of correcting the word commitment. So I think that belongs further down.
Okay, well, I see Greg is going to weigh in. So I guess Greg has his hand up on this one.
Oh. Perfect. Greg, please come in.
Thank you. It's Greg Shatton for the record. First, on the previous point being discussed about the word inappropriate, I would, if we're going to make a change there, I'd prefer to say inappropriate here rather than say irrelevant, because it's not really a question of relevance. It's, in plain English, it's the wrong word. So we're trying to say it's not the right word. So it's not, you know, relevance, I think, is a different concept. So if we could just say inappropriate here, that would be better, more appropriate. As to what Anna's getting at here, I think, you know, the point is that if we are mentioning just the core values in this section here, in order to analyze the core or to use the core value, it has to take into account all of the human rights and to balance them. So I guess the question is whether this it's better to say it here or to say it where it is now. Because I think the point is it's not just in human rights impact assessments that we need to avoid cherry picking, but rather it's in the application in any analysis involving human rights. So I think it really, I think, does go up here because this is kind of the broader place to put it. Because we're here discussing the core value analysis. If indeed we, you know, were to put it anywhere. I mean, we could make reference to it again, 2 points down, so that it also is kept in mind in the human rights impact assessments. I don't think it's a, it's not mutually exclusive, and the point is important enough to put it in both places where it's relevant. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. And to make it clear, because this was a discussion in the drafting team, that we have some text, and we also shortly discussed that in the previous call, and I wordsmithed the text a bit, is that human rights should not be selectively analyzed since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated. I don't really mind where we put it. If people think it's if we should put it here, I'm happy to put it here as well. I see Tatiana's hand is up. Tatiana, please come in.
Hi, hello all. Tatiana Trapina is speaking for the record. I'm trying to bridge the comments from Cavus and from Greg. So what if we say that it is not quite appropriate in the context of interpreting the human rights core value? I believe that it will address Cavus' concerns and it will also address Greg's comments. I don't know if it works or not. Would like to hear the feedback. I mean, because at the end of the day, we better to address all the comments to make everyone happy, because I think it's quite a relevant comment. So I can write it in the chat, but I propose that we will rephrase. The subgroup notes that the word commitment used in this sentence is not quite appropriate in the context of human rights, of interpreting human rights core value. Then full stop, and then we start the next sentence with there is a different section, blah blah. So I don't know if you are happy with this or not. Concerning the proposal of Anne and Greg, I don't mind it to be here as long as I'm happy with the formulation, as long as I'm happy with the text of the sentence about human rights and not cherry picking. So it's okay with me. Thanks.
I'm speaking into our muted mic. I'm sorry. So thanks very, very much, Tatiana. We put the text in the chat, and Cavus, hand us up. Cavus, please come in.
Yes. First of all, I think I am frustrated. Whatever I propose, Greg immediately opposed to that. He insists on his own way of thinking. We should listen to the others. If we have to stick on our own views, we never progress. This is not the first time I took it down. It is the third time that a proposal made, and he comes and he says, no, I don't agree with that. And he go for 10 minutes of explanations of why he doesn't know. So we have to work together. I do not agree with his wording. It's irrelevant. Or maximum you could say is not quite appropriate in the context of whatever that Tatiana proposed. And also I agree with the proposal of Jorge putting considered instead of the words should not be considered as so on and so forth. So please let us work together and let us not stick to our own way of thinking. We are not master of everybody. We are collaborating with each other. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. That means I think we now have a text that seems okay. I just pasted it in the chat. Greg, please come in. Or is that an old hand, Greg? There is silence. There is silence from Greg, so I reckon that this text is okay for the not quite appropriate. I think that that's a nice compromise between all the suggestions. So let's continue. It might be a new hand, but I'm still not hearing Greg. So if Greg wants to come in, he's very much invited too. And then we have the text that was now put forward by Jorge, where we use considered instead of analyzed. I think that's very right. If we put it up here, then it should be considered and not analyzed, because analyzed was especially in relation to human rights impact assessments. So if we're going to put it here at the end of this paragraph, then we should say human rights should not be considered in isolation, since they are universal, indivisible, interrelated, interdependent and interrelated. So I put that here at the end of the of this part. I see Greg's hand is up. Greg? And if Greg's audio is not working, then I'll skip to Anne. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Neil. This is Anne. I am just fine with Jorge's suggestion on the language. I think that, first of all, I'm also fine with the modification that Tatiana suggested in relation to not appropriate in this context to the FOI earlier. I'm a little concerned about the fact that Greg is now saying in the chat, though, that he's been cut off. So I would really appreciate if we could get a dial out to Greg, just to try to confirm, a couple points here with him. And I personally don't see any problems with Jorge's suggestion. I think it's probably an improvement in that language, again, subject to the fact that we've lost Greg. So I think that as we're treating this as a first reading, we want to make sure we get him back on the phone.
That's great. Well, I'm very happy with this. And then, Anne, while we're talking, do you think that this would then also sufficiently address your point later, or do you think it should be we should address it there again? Because if we can remove that, then we would have a pretty much clean text now. Would that be okay, or you think we should leave that in and discuss it when we get there?
No, I'm aware also that Greg has comments on this, and we do need to address, if we're going to talk about HRIAs, which really are a form of implementation, we do need to be clear, as Greg mentioned earlier, and I'm sure you'll find in the transcript, that the HRIAs have to avoid cherry picking as well. I think you're probably pretty well aware that when consulting companies come in to do HRIAs, they are not really used to framing those up in the way that we are talking about here with human rights, with the no cherry picking and no. I know Greg's not crazy about the use of the term principles of proportionality, and I think you had proposed something else again, Niels, but I think we should wait until we get to that point
okay.
With respect
very clear,
to that.
Very clear. You're right.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's simply do that. We'll tackle it when we get there. But we have made progress, and we have Greg back. So, Greg, are you okay with this paragraph now, with this edit text?
Since I was cut off, I didn't have my speakers on. I was listening through the phone. I don't know what the question is, where exactly we are. Are we in the Google Doc?
So we've added to at the end, human rights should not be considered in isolation since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated.
And that has been added to the end where?
To the end of the paragraph we were just discussing.
I certainly don't have a problem adding it here. No.
Perfect. That means we have tackled another paragraph for which I am very happy, and I hope we can continue in this constructive effort. I'm very happy. So, Anne, is that an old hand?
No, it's just a new hand, Niels. This is Anne again. I did want to relate to Greg that I had expressed agreement to two different things pending his input. And one was Tatiana's compromise language regarding the earlier language about commitment is not quite appropriate in the context of this FOI. I think, I don't know at what point that Greg got cut off, but I think there was a suggested compromise by Tatiana that involved commitments not quite appropriate in the context of this FOI, and I wanted to make sure that Greg was on board with that part. And then the second thing was that the language that changed, Greg, while you were cut off was simply that Jorge had said that rather than saying that human rights should be analyzed as universal
I think Greg can read the. I think Greg can read the chat, and I'd like to be a bit conscious of time. And there
right.
is another
he said
second
that
reading.
He told me that he wasn't going to be in Adobe all the time. So, Greg, did you understand Jorge's change in relation to not considered in isolation, and you're fine with that?
I did not see it. Let's see.
I had mentioned I was fine with it, just subject to your input.
It doesn't quite work in English. It's not that human rights should not be considered in isolation. It's that human rights need to be, that each human right should not be considered in isolation. Not that all human rights together should not be considered in isolation, because then the question is, in isolation from what?
Right.
So that's, I think it's close, but I think it needs to be tweaked. Personally, I think the safest thing is to quote from Annex 6, since it's already consensus language, rather than changing the language that we have. But I think the point is that all of the human rights need to be considered together and not in isolation from each other, and that no human rights should be isolated and considered without considering all human rights. And that's way too wordy, but that is the concept. So if that's what it is, I think we need to change it a little bit. I see for discrete human rights should not be considered in isolation. Well, in isolation.
Or individual?
A human right should not be considered in isolation from other human rights.
I think individual
words. Yeah, I'm not sure why we're going down this, but I'm trying to be accommodating to other people, to using the language here.
Individual human rights should not be considered in isolation?
From each other.
From each other?
What was the problem with the original language? Why didn't it say what we were trying to say? I just don't understand.
This was the original language.
I thought with the language that we were taking from Annex 6.
Yeah, but this is literally the second part of that sentence in Annex 6.
Okay, maybe it doesn't make sense without the first part. Maybe that's the problem.
Well, that was like.
On its own, it's not making sense. The Annex 6 language of paragraph 11 did not use the word isolated. It said the CCWG accountability also disagreed with any attempt to single out any specific human right in the proposed draft bylaw text on the basis that human rights not reflectively mentioned, emphasized, or applied, since they're universal, individual, independent, and interrelated.
So specific human rights should not be considered in isolation?
I see what Tatiana has here. No specific right shall be considered in isolation. And then what's going to come after that is because they are interrelated, interdependent, etc. If that's the case, then that works for me.
So we say, I put the text in here, so no specific human rights should be considered in isolation, since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated.
I like that, Niels. I think that works.
Okay. Then we'll leave that in for now.
Thanks.
Oh, Kavus, hand is up. Kavus, please come in.
I'm sorry, Neil. Several times I have been interrupted in the past. And when I come in, nobody asks whether I agree or I did not agree because I was interrupted. But now, Anne becomes the spokesman of Greg, and she says that he has been interrupted. Now we have to seek whether he agrees or does not agree. This is not proper course of action. You should treat us equally. I have been interrupted several times, but I never been asked whether I agree when I come in or not. But now because Greg was interrupted, now everybody waiting whether he agree or he does not agree. And Ann becomes the spokesman of Greg. Greg is sufficiently mature to talk about himself. He does not need any spokesman. I know that Ann is from IPC and Greg is from IPC. But it doesn't mean that we have to waste our time here. And I don't understand the proposal of Greg, no specific human right. What do you mean by no specific human right? What is the word specific doing that? I don't understand that. And I don't understand Annex 6. If you're only repeating Annex 6 and cut and pasting Annex 6, why we are here? Why we have spent our time here? So I don't agree with the introduction of the word specific. The text which was proposed by others and Jorge, I agree, but not the word specific. I disagree. I oppose that. Thank you.
Okay. I thought we could move to the next part, but Kavus doesn't agree. Maybe let me try to explain, and it took me also a while. It took me a while to get it, but that's because my limited comprehension of English. I think it is because it's about whether human rights should be seen as a unity or whether it's a combination of specific rights. And if we said no specific, then we make it clear that no individual human rights should be considered. But we can use individual because then we get into the double meaning with individual rights versus collective rights. So that is why the text no specific was introduced. And Tatiana, who is a much more informed lawyer than I am, can perhaps even explain it better. Tatiana, please come in.
Thank you, Niels. Well, basically, that was my proposal about specific human rights, because as you rightly explain, when we say individual human rights, we are getting into the double meaning of the human rights of individual. So basically, what specific human right means is, for example, that we cannot do human rights impact assessment only on freedom of expression. Only on copyright, on some specific human rights. But if someone is uncomfortable with this text, well, let's change to no particular human right, or no, like, I'm a bit lost now trying to find the synonyms. But I think specific human right, not specific human rights, specific human right. In singular. I think it should work because I think the meaning is quite clear that it means that we should not cherry pick, and the sentence explains it further. But I would be completely comfortable with replacing specific to particular if it works for Cavus and anyone else who is against the word specific. Thanks.
Thanks very much for this clear explanation, Tatiana. Cavus, please come in.
Yes. For me, particular is better than a specific. I agree with Tatiana. I agree with particular. No particular human rights should be considered patati patata. I agree with particular, but not with a specific. Thank you.
I'm fine with
okay.
This. This is for the record.
Okay, but then it becomes plural again. So what we then get is particular human rights should not be considered in isolation.
Make it, sorry, Tatiana, for the record, probably better to make it singular back.
Particular human rights should not be considered?
No particular human rights should be considered. If native speakers are okay with this, if not, tweak.
Okay. So that is now in the chat. It seems okay? Yes. Excellent. So if we're going to, we will still have a second reading, so then we can, no particular human rights, says N. Okay, I'll remove the S. I'm not married to either S or non-S. Okay, perfect. So, next paragraph. We managed to get through another one. I'm very happy about that. So now let's go here. Let's go to the next consideration, and that is consistent with ICANN's existing processes and protocols. Consider how these new frameworks should be discussed and drafted to ensure broad multi-stakeholder involvement in the process. So here we go with our consideration. Paragraph 1. The methods for developing any new policies or frameworks that may be needed to apply the human rights core value will be dictated by the type of policy and how ICANN, the organization, and the community develop those policies. And then we go to the next para. For example, developing and recommending to the board substantive policies relating to generic top-level domains, comes from bylaw 11.1, is the responsibility of the GNSO, and any new or revised policies or frameworks, including any changes to the GNSO policy development process, should be developed by the GNSO using that organization's policy and processes. The GNSO's processes allow for multi-stakeholder involvement in working groups, developing these policies, and for public comment on any recommendations. Similarly, developing and recommending to the board global policies relating to country codes, top-level domains, bylaws, section 10.1a, is the responsibility of the country code name supporting organization. Any new or revised policies or frameworks, including any changes to the CCNSO policy development process, should be developed by the CCNSO using that organization's policy and processes. And then we continue to the part of the ASO. The review and development of recommendations on Internet Protocol address policy is the responsibility of the address supporting organization. The ASO does not have a similar formal PDP to the CCNSO and the GNSO. Nonetheless, ASO should consider how to apply the human rights core value. When developing corporate or operational principles and executing its operations, ICANN, the organization, should take the human rights core value into account. In order to do so, ICANN, the organization, should propose a framework which should include multi-stakeholder involvement in its development and regular review. So here we go through different SOs and ACs and how they themselves need to come up with a process, how it will be included. So it's very much consistent with what we said earlier. Cavus, hand is up. Cavus, please come in.
Yes, in the paragraph, the first one is starting, the GNSO's processes allow for multi-stakeholder involvement. I have a question. How we could say allows? Should allow, I agree. Shall allow, I agree. But not allow, because it is not to be taken as it does. It may not. So we should put as a source of obligations, should allow multi-stakeholder involvement. This is what we want, that the organization GNSO have this obligation to allow the multi-stakeholder. What you're saying currently, that means is already doing that. So we should change the sentence saying that should allow or shall allow or must allow. Any of these two, but not allow. It should have something as sort of duty, obligations. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. I see what you're saying, but that might get us into trouble because we are not mandated to tell the GNSO what to do. Are supposed to allow? Would it work? I see that the suggestion provides for multi-stakeholder involvement. Would that work? The suggestion by Marcus Kummer.
When you say provide, when you put present tense, means that you take it as is already doing, and there is no other duty for that. Needs to allow, I agree. Should allow, I agree. Expected to allow, I agree. But not allow or provide. We should not put it in the tense that it is already doing and there is no more things to be done. So either need to allow, or should allow, or is expected to allow. Any of the three.
Yeah, that's, the GNSO's processes are expected to allow for multi-stakeholder involvement.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Anne's hand is up. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. I don't object to some modification of this language, but just as a point here, the policy development process manual very definitely calls for multi-stakeholder involvement, and that's why the working groups send out letters to the various other advisory committees when they conduct a policy development process. So probably the reason this says that the processes allow for this is because the policy development manual specifically provides for it. So I don't, I'm not sure the distinction Kavus is making, but the PDP does you know, provide for this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Anne. And I think that's both consistent. Marcus, please come in.
Yes, can you hear me now? Just along the same lines, I think let's be descriptive, and the PDP does allow for multi-stakeholder participation. So we are not here to rewrite the bylaws, but let's be as objective as we can. Thanks.
Thanks, Marcus. Kavus, please come in.
Are we discussing the PDP manual or are we discussing the interpretations, the framework of interpretation? If everything is clear, why we need to refer to the GNSO approach which use multi-stakeholder? Because it's already in the PDP manual. Why we need to explain it here? If we need to explain it here, we should refer it as such. So this is not interpretations. This is reflections of the fact. It is not interpretation. What interpretation we do if it is manual only? So we have to change the sense of the sentence. Either saying that the current PDP development process in GNSO allows? Otherwise, we could not interpret it something which relates to the policy development of GNSO here as interpretations. It does. Please put verbatim what is in the manual, and say that pursuant to, and then say PDP process, development process, GNSO, and put whatever is from the manual, if you want to do that. So we should be quite careful here. Thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. Marcus, please come in.
Sorry, old hand.
Anne, please come in.
Please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne.
We could, I think, easily say.
And I don't know who is not muted, but we could say the GNSO policy development process provides for multi-stakeholder involvement, and that was my only comment in the chat.
Thank you, Anne. Greg, please come in.
I was going to make the same suggestion that Anne made, so please consider it as if it was hers. Thank you.
Okay, Kavus, please come in.
Yes, if you change the sentence saying that GNSO policy development process provides, I have no problems. You refer to something which exists. You don't interpret
Perfect.
That. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you.
GNSO's processes provide for multi-stakeholder involvement in working groups developing these policies and for public comment on any recommendation. Excellent. Another problem solved. Another part done. Really? This is great. Really nice. So we got 13 minutes left. So let's see if we can do the next part as well. Very good. And here we go. We go into the next consideration. And that is, consider how the interpretation and implementation of this bylaw will interact with existing and future ICANN policies and procedures. Paragraph 1. The interpretation of the human rights core value should be driven by the framework of interpretation. It is expected that the core value will be taken into account when future ICANN policies and procedures are developed and interpreted in accordance with the framework of interpretation. Then the following part. I'm first going to read it without the addition, and then we're going to discuss the addition. So, supporting organizations should consider defining and incorporating human rights impact assessments in their respective policy development processes. Given interrelated nature of core values, the supporting organizations could also consider other core values as part of the balancing required by the bylaws. So then there was a suggestion by Anne, so it would read, supporting organizations could consider defining and incorporating human rights impact assessments in their respective policy development process. HRIAs should avoid cherry-picking and should give due regard to principles of proportionality. So I see Kavus' hand is up. Kavus, please come in.
Yes, I'm very sorry. This addition is not understandable. For everybody, I don't understand the necessity to have this addition. Why we need that? Why we need cherry picking? And should give due regard to principle of proportionality. What are those principles? Where are those principles written? Who have access to those principles? So something that we don't have access and we don't know where it is, who has agreed it is not to be included in the interpretation framework. So I am not very comfortable with this addition for two reasons that I have given, and in particular, principle of proportionality. There is no principle of proportionality universally agreed in any aspect at all. It is subject to different views by different lawyers. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne for the transcript. I actually would be happy to change that reference to principles of proportionality and agreeing with Cavus about that. I think we could make a different reference that wasn't so quick to invoke, you know, legal language. And so I have put in the chat an alternative proposal that would just say HRIA should avoid cherry picking, which is a concept we've talked about quite a bit from the beginning, and should honor the principle that human rights are indivisible and interdependent, because that's the language that we had agreed on, you know, up above. So I think, you know, what's important here is just the same principle it has to be considered when you contract for an HRIA, because they're not commonly done this way. Thank you.
I am not sure whether the statement that HRIAs are cherry picking is well. Let's not get into the discussion of practice of HRIA. Tatiana, please come in.
Hi, I'm very much comfortable with Anne's compromise, but what about rephrasing a bit, because I'm not sure about the word principle. What about saying that human rights impact assessments should avoid cherry-picking, should avoid human rights cherry-picking, and should honor the human rights and should honor the invisibility and interdependency of human rights, then we will remove the principle, because for me it's a bit of out of the concept, because it's not clear is this principle outlined anywhere or is anything going on. So I'm going to put my suggestion into the chat and see how comfortable everyone with this. So Just one moment, but this is all for me.
Thank you very much, Tatiana. I've also been cobbling together some language, because I thought if we already have the language above, so why don't we try to stay as much in line with that? So if we say human rights impact assessments should not consider human rights in isolation, since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated. Would that work? Because I think the word cherry picking is not really a word of art, and we already have something saying above already the same thing, so I would hope we could do that. Okay, that's good. So Anne says should not consider particular human rights there. Does that work, Anne? HRIAs, because it should be plural. So sorry for the HRIAs. Oh, sorry, I'm making a mess. HRIAs should not consider particular human rights in isolation, since they are universal, indivisible, interdependent, and interrelated. And now it only should be plural, and then might work. Tatiana, please come in. I see your hand is up.
Sorry, that's a very old hand.
Okay. And Anne is okay. So here, I'll paste in this text. Oh, people, you have no idea how happy this makes me. Excellent. So we have that. So, So we have a 5-minute time check. That means we are done with this. Oh, Anne, hand is up. Anne, please come in.
Yes, thank you, Niels. It's Anne. I just want to note the point that at least three persons on the drafting team had noted a need to discuss again the possible need for a more informal method of resolving human rights complaints than the request for reconsideration or independent review process. And I think that so David McCauley wasn't able to be on the call, and he mentioned that this was something that he was in favor of, and Greg had also mentioned it. It just, we're not sure where it should go, but it does deserve further discussion.
I think it definitely deserves further discussion, but if we do not have concrete text, it's very hard to discuss.
I don't think, this is Anne again, it strikes me that here in the last 3 or 4 minutes, we won't be able to address that. Perhaps the drafting team could work on it during the week. But there were at least three of us who felt that it needed to be further explored.
I'm happy to discuss it there. Concrete text, that will be great. Greg, please come in.
Thank you, Greg Chatton, for the record. I think there was some text that Anne had earlier that I felt was misplaced, but I didn't disagree with, but we can certainly work on getting the exact language. As for a place for it, I believe the right place for it is in the second row, where we're asked to consider the policies and frameworks, if any, that ICANN needs to develop or enhance in order to fulfill its commitment to respect human rights. But I think that
I would like to break in here. If I quickly do a last reading of the last paragraph, of which I think there's not much contention, and we can work in a drafting team on proposing something that we could discuss the next week, and then if everyone agrees, we could ship the document to the plenary, which I think would not be a bad thing. So I propose we take that to the drafting team and come back with a proposal. And then I will do a quick last reading of the last paragraph in the response to the consider what effect, if any, this bylaw will have on ICANN's consideration of advice given by the GAC. And then we respond, ICANN's mission, commitments, and core values, including the human rights core value, should be taken into account by the SOs and ACs and ICANN, the organization, when considering policy matters. The board will need to take into account ICANN's mission, commitment, and core values, including the human rights core value, in considering all matters before the board, which also includes advice given by the GAC. Cavus, please come in.
Neil, you remember our discussion in the GAC? You remember you said that this concern has been over? We mentioned that why in this interpretation we mentioned that the recommendations of GNSO and CCNSO must also take into account, ICANN in considering recommendations from GNSO and CCNSO must also take into account the core value and human rights. Where we have mentioned that? We have not mentioned it anywhere. And we said that we should treat SO and ACs equally. And you replied that this has been considered and you have a solution for that. and I see that always there is no change. So either at the last paragraph you mentioned all matters, and then including recommendations from GNSO, CSNSO, and advice from GAC, or you have to mention in previous paragraph something that board in considering recommendation of GNSO and CSNSO must also take into account the core value and human right. We must treat all SO and ACs equally. This was a concern in the GAC and you were there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kapus. I thought that that was that was included in this text. But if not, let's discuss it on the list a bit. We at least did a first reading of this text. It is on top of the hour. I thank you all very much for your attention and your great collaboration. We made great progress. Kapus, I'd like to invite you to send your concerns to the list so the drafting team, and we can consider that and work on that. So we can continue to the second reading all next week. Dear all, it's a real honor to work with you all on this, and I'm greatly looking forward to continue working with you on this, on the list, in the drafting team, and on the call next week. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.